Okay, you're listening to Amud Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Brachos, Daf Nun Amud Beis. We're going to start at the bottom, last couple of lines of Nun Amud Aleph. We were just trying to figure out the role of a teaching in this Mishnah. We said that, so this Mishnah told us that if you have three people, more than three people in a group, they can't split up. They can't divide into two and one or three singles because they have a chiyuv of zimun upon them. And then we said if it goes to six, then it can split into two groups, and then up to ten. So the Gemara challenges the necessity of such a comment. It says, we already learned this before, right? That's what we mentioned. So we gave two different suggestions of what this might be teaching us new, what chiddush is added here. So it could be that the chiyuv of zimun begins as soon as they sit down to eat together and start eating, even if they haven't eaten their kazayis each yet. Could be it starts just by them sitting down and starting the meal. It could, with the second possibility we said, it could be that it teaches us that the even if they're all eating from different loaves of bread, it's not just people come to sit together eating one loaf of bread. Even if they all come and brought their own bread, but still it's considered together. And now a third possibility of what the chiddush might be is as follows: Inami, or also second line from the bottom, Kihod Rav Huna. This is in accordance with the teaching of Rav Huna. What did he say? Rav Huna, Gimel Shabo mi Gimel Chaburos. You have three people who come from three different chaburos. Einam Rishayin Lechalik. They're not allowed to split up. So basically, you have three chaburos, chabura A, B, and C. They have very creative names, these chaburos. And one guy from each of these chaburos comes out. So you can imagine, like, I guess imagine like a triangle, right? So they're sitting in this, like, three different tables in a triangle formation. And then three of them, one guy from each of these groups comes to the center table, and now there's a new group of three formed by somebody from Chabura A, from Chabura B, and Chabura C. Make sense so far? Okay. So in that situation, that new Chabura of those new three guys, it's telling us that even they who did not eat together, even they need to make a Zimun together. We're going to qualify that momentarily. Omer of Chizda, right? So Gimel Shabo Migimel Chaburos Ein Rishayin Lechalik. Even though that new group formed by three people who didn't eat together, but all have a chi of zimun upon them, right? The chi of zimun is hanging over their heads, but they didn't eat together. Still, those three now have the even they have this obligation or prohibition from splitting up from each other because they need to make a zimun. So Omer of Chizda. Rav Chizda says, "V'hu shabo migimel chaburos shel gimel b'nei adam." So this is talking about where they come from three different chaburos from at least three people each. Right? So Rashi explains, let's take a look at this Rashi. So as Rav Chizda concludes, it's three people coming from three different chaburos, and b'chol chaburo nischayivu elu b'zimun. So each of these chaburos is obligated in zimun. V'amad echem mikol chabura v'nitztarfu shlosh l'chabura. So and one person gets up from each chabura and then he joins to be three in a chabura l'chabura achas chayvin l'zamin v'ein rishayin l'chalik shikvar hukvu. They're not allowed to split up even though they didn't eat together because they all had it was kavu in them the obligation to make a zimun. Vafil lo achlu ela elu hashlosh mitzarfu yachas shikvar gamru sudasan imarishonim. See, they already finished their meal with the first group, with the first guys, but for whatever reason they're not able to do a zimun with them afterwards, seemingly. So now they all have an obligation in this new situation. Now Rava qualifies as well. So Amar Rava. Rava says, "V'lo amran, we don't say this ella except for, I mean, we only say it, d'lo akdimu hanach v'azmin alayhu b'duchtayhu." When the people at the original three groups didn't already make a zimun, including him in their place. Avol azmun alayhu b'duchtayhu, parach zimun minayhu. But if they already use that person for the zimun, then the zimun flies from them, meaning that they don't make a new Zeman. If they already were Yotzei Zeman over there, so they sat together at a new table, they don't make a new Zeman because it was already done on the previous groups. And now we're going to support this din. Amar Rava, Mina, how do I know this? So he says, Dithnan, we learned in the Mishnah, it's an interesting source. Amita shenignava chetzia, o sheovda chetzia. So you have a bed that half of it was stolen. Right, half of the bed was stolen, right? So it was like taken apart, seemingly, and or half of it got lost. O shechalkua achen, or two brothers split it. O shutvin, or two partners did. Tahora, it's tahor, it's pure. Meaning, let's see if Rashi explains for us. So yes, Rashi doesn't say earlier, but in general, there's a halacha when it comes to kalim becoming tameh. That's kalim in their full state. However, a part of a kli that's not a full kli in its own right doesn't become tameh. And in fact, if it is tameh, or in this case tameya, if it was tameya and it was taken apart, so the tumah departs from it, and right. So that's what we said so far. Hechziruha, if they would return it though and put it back together, mikabelas tumah mikan lahaba, it now is susceptible to future tumah, right? Meaning once it becomes a full kli again, it's susceptible to future tumah mikan lahaba. So now the Gemara says, Mikan l'haba in l'mafreya lo. So from here on in means that it can become tummy, implies that only from here on in. However, l'mafreya, retroactively, it cannot become, it doesn't get its old tuma back. Alma, we see, kevan de palgua parach la tumamina. We see that once it was split, the tuma flies away from it. Hachanami here too, kevan de izman alayhu parach ziman minayhu. So to here, once they made a ziman already, so it flies away from him. Comparison seems a little bit strange. I don't see the exact mechanics of it. There's a Rashi over here. We could check it out. Says Alma kevan de pagua. So pakasham mita mina, shame mita mina. So the title, the term mita is pokea from it, like it's removed from it. The shame tuma, and also the shame tuma. Avagav dahadar hadruha. So even though it goes back to getting its original name, bahari himita lo hadra tumasa, but the tuma doesn't go back to it. So hachanami here too, says Rashi, kevan de paka shame shlosha minayhu. Since the name or the term or the declaration of this grouping of three, right, but that was removed, behifredam, in their departure from each other, v'shem zimun al yidei zizimnu arishonim alehem, and the shem zimun, through the fact that the earlier ones were mezamin through him, avagav dahadri, even though now they go back into three different people, Leklal shem shlosha lo hadri leklal zimun, the name three, the shem shlosha doesn't go back to them. Aval ki lo azman lo pakachov zimun mehen af lefi pridasan. So I didn't clarify to me at least what is it? So they're talking about the shame of shlosha and the shame of zimun, which would have been on, but since they already made the Zeman, so then when they get into the new groups, they no longer have the opportunity to, if they didn't eat together, but it could be even if they ate together, because they already lost the shame Zeman from being in a different group of three. Okay. Beis Chaburus v'chulei. So we mentioned that if you have two groups, and some can see the others, then they can join, but if not, not. So Tana, so it was taught regarding this in a Braisa, imye shamash b'nehem shamash mitzarfan. If there is a waiter serving both groups, even if they can't see each other, they can join in thanks to that waiter. I wonder if the waiter has to be eating with them. Rashi doesn't say. Right? Rashi says, Shemeshamish l'shteim. Doesn't even say that he was eating with them. So it's interesting. Sharing a waiter would seem to be enough. I would say even it's a chiddush if you say he's eating with them, but like at least I understand because one guy is seeing both groups. So if he's joining their groups, he can combine. But it seems to be saying pashtus is that even if he wasn't eating with them, he would still be able to join them, which is interesting. Could be he's still in some regard considered part of their chabura. Okay. Next part of the Mishnah, Ein mevarchin al yayin. We don't make a bracha on wine. So let's clarify. That's not what the Mishnah said. It said we don't make a bracha on wine that was not yet diluted and prepared as a proper beverage, right? However, so that's it was actually machlokas. That's what everybody else just said. The Chachamim disagreed. So let's see what we say over here. Tana Rabban, we learned in a brice, yayin ad shelo nasan l'socha mayim in mevarchin alav borei pri agafen. Wine that was not diluted, we don't make a borei peri gafen, and ela borei peri eitz. Rather, we make a borei peri ha eitz. Right, borei peri gafen is a more chashiv bracha for a more fine beverage, and it does not yet reach that status if it is not diluted. So it is borei peri ha eitz. And we had a discussion about fruit juices. And it seems to be that this is not categorized as just like the sweat of the fruit, right? As we mentioned, I forgot, Laman Hey, Laman Vav, whatever it was, somewhere around there. I don't remember. Well, yeah, somewhere around, probably Laman Vav. So this would not, count, actually no, maybe Laman Zayin Lamechas. But earlier in Ketzim Avarchin. So you make a Borei Pri Ha'etz, and this is Divrei... Oh, and one more halachic point about this. So not only do you make a Borei Pri Ha'etz, but also V'notel Nimenu Liyadayim. We can also wash Yadayim with it, right? That we're allowed to do Nitiyos Yadayim in general with this, if it writes that Rashi says, D'shem Mayim Alav D'mei Peres Ba'alma Mikri. He says, so this, oh, that's what Rashi was looking for. So Rashi says that it's called Mei Peiros if it's not yet diluted, because it's not this high quality. So therefore, he's going to say it's a Ha'etz. It goes down a level. And you can use it to wash your hands, wash your daim. You're allowed to wash your daim with any juice except for juice from grapes, juice from olives. And so now, but this is not considered proper grape juice if it is not yet diluted, and you can use it for Ntilas Yadayim. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, V'chachamim Omrim, Bein Kach V'Bein Kach Mevarchin Alav Borei Pri Agafen. They say, nope, either way you say Borei Pri Agafen, V'ein Not L'Nei Menol Yadayim, and you do not wash Yadayim with it. Kiman Azlach, with whom is this in accordance? Ha Adam or Shmuel. This is in accordance with that which Shmuel said, Ose Adam Kol Tzarchav B'Pas. A person can do whatever he needs with bread. Whatever he needs with bread. Rashi says, so we'll explain it in a minute. Keman, who is this in accordance? Whom is this in accordance with? Rabbi Eliezer. This is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer. Rashi explains, what does it mean, Rabbi Eliezer? That Rabbi Eliezer, da'amar notan himen al yadayim, v'lo chayet shal hefsid ochlin. That we're allowed to use bread for other purposes other than food, right? So perhaps decoration, maybe arts and crafts projects. I don't know. I remember once asking the Shaila regarding macaroni art. Is that a problem? Is that baltashlis? Is it a distraction to the food? So it seems to say that you can do certain things with the food. Why is this in accordance with him? Because we're having a discussion about using fruit juices and undiluted wine for hand washing. So clearly, we're allowed to use food for other purposes, food and drink for other purposes other than eating and drinking. Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina, Modim Chacham Rabbi Eliezer Bekos Shel Bracha Sheim Evarchin Alav Ad Sheitin Lesocha Mayim. So Rabbi Yosi said to Rabbi Chanina that the Chacham will agree with Rabbi Eliezer, even though they say undiluted wine still gets a hagafen and you still can't wash hands with it, but they'll say, but listen, when it comes to Kos Shel Bracha, that needs to be higher quality and therefore that needs to be diluted first. They'll agree with him in that situation. My time, what's the reason? Amar Rav Hashaya, Be'inan mitzvah min ha-muvchar. What's the reason for that? Rav Hashaya says, because we need what's called mitzvah min ha-muvchar. The mitzvah should be of the, right, like bachar, right? Bachar banu. It should be of the choicest. So we try to do mitzvahs in a very choice, ideal way, and that would be high-quality wine. V'rabanan l'may chazi, and Rabbanan, what do they see? I mean, Rashi says, why do they think that you say berei gafen on undiluted wine? It's not high quality beverage. Rav Zera says chazi likuraiti. They saw it, or maybe like what's it fit for? They says it's fit for koraiti. Rashi says koraiti is paishon belas. Ubalashon chachamim anomalis va alonsis. It's some type of drink that undiluted wine was the primary ingredient in. And since it played a major role in this drink without being diluted by water, so they said so that indicates that even undiluted wine is still beverage worthy and therefore worthy of a berei pri hagafen. Okay, next. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, Dalid, right, we just spoke about the way to treat bread and drinks. So Tana Rabbanan Dalad Dvarim Nem Ruba Pas. There are four things that are said regarding bread. Ein manichin basar chai al ha-pas. We don't place raw meat on pas. We don't, right? Rashi says he doesn't. But it will ruin the bread if you put raw meat on it. Ve'ein mavir in kos male al pas. And you should not pass a full cup over it. If you pass a full cup over it, you're like Rashi says, Shalo yishpoch al pas, it's a hey pas bezuya. It's going to be bezuya to the pas. If you pass bread over it, you're going to ruin the bread. We don't want to do that. The ein zorkin is a pas, and we don't throw bread. Right, so this is an interesting discussion during. There are various from communities that have minhagim of perhaps throwing bread when making a motzi and other times. So it's interesting. You'll have to look into what they do with this gemara over here. But you shouldn't throw bread. Is it talking about if it's going to get ruined? We'll see. There's going to be this discussion below. The ein somchan es ha-kara bapas, and we should not lean or place a plate full of food on the bread, seemingly for the same reason that it might ruin the bread. The three of these Amorayim were breaking bread together. I see the Kamayu Tamri Virimoni. They brought in front of them dates and pomegranates. Shaka Marzutra Pesek Lakame to Ravashi. So Pesek Rashi says is Zarak. So Marzutra took it and he threw one to Ravashi, or Distana, or a piece, he threw Distana, Rashi says, Monisha Basar Mavush, like some like cooked meat, like he threw some meat to Ravashi, an interesting scene. Maybe he threw it onto his plate in front of him, something like that, right? You don't typically throw a piece of cooked meat at the Gadol Ador. I mean, I never did, I don't know, maybe one of you guys did, I don't know. Amar Lei, so he said to him, Lo savar lamar laha de tanya ein zorkin es ha'ochlin. So he said, don't you agree with Mar that we said that said in the braisa you don't throw food? So hahi bepas. He says, no, that's talking about bread. It's not talking about a slice of meat. Oh, sorry, it's hahi bepas tanya. No, that's the braisa is talking about a piece of meat. V'ha tanya, we learned to the braisa kishem she ein zorkin es ha'pas kach ein zorkin es ha'ochlin. We learned to the braisa explicitly says, just as we don't throw bread, we also don't throw meat. Sorry, other foods. Amar Lei, he said to him, Vatanya, Avapi Shein Zorkin as a pass. Avapi Shein Zorkin as a pass, Aval Zorkin as a Oakland. He says, but we have a different price, but doesn't say in a different price of that, even though you can't throw bread, you can throw other foods? Okay, we have a contradiction here. Elalokasha. No, it's not a contradiction. Habamidi dimamais. Habamidi dilomamais. This is with something that's going to get disgusting. This is something that is not going to get disgusting. So it seems like bread should not be thrown no matter what. That's what it seems to be saying. However, other foods, if they're going to get disgusting, maybe they should throw them. If they're going to, then you should not throw them. If they won't get disgusting by you throwing them, then it's okay. Like if I want to toss you an apple, according to this, probably not going to get disgusting. I want to toss you a piece of apple pie, so maybe not as good an idea. That's what it would seem to say. So presumably the case of the meat was, I guess, not disgusting, right? He like maybe threw it onto his plate or something like that, a piece of cooked meat. I think there are actually some gyrosos that take out the term the meat. because that would be messy. Maybe they say actually like that there was the pomegranate and date. I have to look more into that. But anyway, that would seem to be the halacha. Tana Rabbanan. So we learned in a brisa, mashkin yayin betinaros lefnei chasil lefnei kala. So we can draw wine through pipes. It's seen right through pipes in front of the chasan and kala, which Rashi says is mishum simen tov. Right, so he says. So it seems to be that this was like some sort of a sign for like a siman tov. It should be a mazel, and so they would pour wine in pipes and like pass it in front of the chasan kala. So they would see like a flow of bracha, a flow of wine, a flow of simcha, whatever it is, and that was a good sign that people would do. And now there's a question. Hold on, how can you do that? Isn't it a bizayon to the wine? Because you're seeing it flowing, throwing it. What's going to happen? So Rashi just clarifies. He says the ein kan mishum bizayon vehefsid. It's not a bizayon. It's not a hefsid. Why? Levishim akabel mosobarosh piatzin or bekli. Because at the end of the pipe, the mouth of the pipe, there's a kli that catches it. So nothing's being wasted. If it would be wasted, maybe it wouldn't be appropriate to waste wine like that. But this was fine. Vizorkin levneim kalios vehegozin, and we're allowed to throw in front of them. Kalios and Agosim, and the Agosim are nuts. Kalios, I think, are like something like nuts. Could be like roasted nuts, or roasted something like that. Something that's similar to nuts. It could be a different type of nut. I forgot what it is. Biemos hachama, but that's only in the summer. Aval biemos hageshamim, but in the rain season. Aval lo biemos hageshamim, and not in the rain season. Why not? So the difference between the summer and the rain season, B'yomos HaChama, says Rashi, She'en tit bedrachim, that there's no mud in the roads. In the summer, things are very dry. So if you throw some nuts at the Chasan Kala, they don't get dirty, they don't get disgusting. So it's totally fine. However, in the rain season, when the roads are muddy, so even throwing nuts, it gets disgusting. You should not do that. Aval lo gluskaos, lo B'yomos HaChama, lo B'yomos HaGeshamim. But gluskaos, which are like rolls, baked rolls, they can't be thrown anytime because Rashi says, because they get disgusting even if the floor is clean, they get disgusting if you're throwing rolls at the chasan kala. I don't know why. I mean, I guess that's what they did by, you know, after the haftarah. They threw rolls at him or different types of things. But to throw nuts and to throw whatever these kalios, a different type of nuts, different maybe like a grain, or was it something like that? It's toasted grains, things that are harder, like candies. That would be okay to throw to chasan and kala. Enjoy. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, shachach v'hichnis ochel nesoch pev. If somebody forgot and he put food in his mouth below bracha, without a bracha. You can imagine somebody puts food in his mouth without a bracha. What does he do? Mesalkin letzad echad mevarech. He puts it over to one side of his mouth, pushes it all into one side of the cheek, and then he should make the bracha. Tanya, we learned in the brisa chada bolan. We learned in the brisa whether one who swallows. Oh, sorry. Tanya chada. We learned in one brisa bolan. What should he do? He should swallow it. He should be boleya. That thing, and then it's like a question if he'll make the bracha afterwards. Rashi says below bracha, right? V'tanya idach, and we learned in another brisa, poltan, he should spit it out. Rashi says uvarich v'choser v'ochlan, and then afterwards go back, make the bracha, and then put it back in his mouth and eat it. V'tanya idach misalkan, and a third brisa says you should move it to one side of your mouth. So we have three different brisos that tell you that if you forgot to make a bracha, you put food in your mouth, and you forgot to make a bracha, what should you do? So one brisa says that you should swallow without a bracha. The other says spit it out, then re-eat, then make a bracha, and then re-eat it. And the third opinion says put it to the side of your mouth, and make a bracha when it's in your cheek. So what do we do? How do we make all these brisas fit together? So lo kasha, it's not, and they're not contradictory. Ho detanya bolon bimashkin. The one that says that you swallow it, that's if we're talking about liquid. Rashi says bolon she'i efshar l'salkon l'achad milugma v'levarich v'lo l'fol tam shemafsidon. Right? Because you can't do any of the other options. You can't put it to one side of your mouth. You have a full of water in your mouth. You can't put it to the one side of your mouth and make a bracha with that. That's impossible. You can't spit it out and then re-drink it. If you spit it out, you've lost it. So, you know, it could be, many people, I guess, made a solicitus that they'll spit it out. They don't re-drink it. It's not a big deal, but let's say it is. Let's say, you know, you don't have a lot of water here. You need to drink this. So over here, so that you can swallow. Okay, what about the other two? The ha detanya poltan b'midi deloma mais. And this that tells you to spit it out, that's something that doesn't get disgusting. Right, Rashi has been mushing us in a pivy, meaning you can imagine like a sucking candy or something like that, right? Something that doesn't get disgusting it depends what level of disgusting. But you know, we know there's a difference between like a bite of cholent and a sucking candy. So one is significantly less disgusting. Take it out of your mouth, you pop it back in, no one's looking, you wash your hands, sanitizer, and you know, if there's a pandemic. But that basic idea. The last one, behold, the tiny misalka and b'midi d'memayis. And this, where we learn the Brisa, that you remove it, that if it's something that's going to get disgusting. So, like for example, the case with the chillant, so that you can move to one side of your mouth and make the bracha with your mouth half full. It's actually a perfect. It could be a perfect omelet. I think we could call it here, just because I keep giving up on a perfect omelet. Though we're going to continue this discussion for a couple more lines with one more clarification of why it would ideally be better to spit it out if you can, but I'll leave that for the Rav tomorrow.